Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
You know, I feel good.
You feel good?
I feel good. It's been a good past couple of days of wrestling.
Yeah, I'll agree.
I am in a positive, upbeat mood. The past two, the Money in the Bank and Raw, it all have put me in a good mindset.
Okay, even if, you know, the uber predictable result happened at the end of the Money in the Bank?
Don't even care.
Okay.
Don't even care.
Because all things aside, it was a very enjoyable pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
I felt. Like, pretty much in every match, there was at least something to enjoy.
Yes.
I guess we should start with the... I mean, I guess we could talk about the kickoff show. I mean, all it was a Daniel Bryan interviews part.
Yeah.
And basically said that he's going to be gone even more.
Officially, so. Yeah, he's... There's still no reason to believe that that Daniel Bryan is retired. That's like that's right. the end all that would suck kind of thing.
Right.
There's no reason to believe that though, and yeah, if they've gone ahead and stripped the title, so
right,
I would like him to take off the time that he needs.
Of course, and if he does need a second surgery, then he needs a second surgery. Then yes. You know, we're not gonna be angry about
There's
that.
Nobody to blame.
Right. Well, yeah, no.
No.
Can't even blame Jack. Can't blame Jack Swagger for this one.
I can't remember a specific, in you know, poorly done bump that caused this.
Right. So yeah, he's gonna be gone a little bit longer, and he called Bo Dallas a boner.
Yes.
Hooray.
So.
It's a sword, actually.
So, yeah, that's fine.
So I guess we can move on to the actual show.
Yeah.
Starting off with the Usos versus the Wyatts. Wyatts got a new song, which was weird because they got basically generic Southern rock song number 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, I wasn't a big fan of the creepy accordion music, but it was fitting to the Wyatts.
Okay, are they trying out some stuff? Because there's some stuff where, like, for a while there... Triple H had 3 separate ring entrance songs. Like, he had his corporate one, Bow Down.
Right.
And then he had, like,
his ring
It's
music.
All About the Game, his entrance music. And he also entered to the Evolution thing.
Right.
So, like, there's 3 separate things. So, do the Wyatts have that now, where Bray has one, the Wyatt family has one, and the two other, the brother, you know, the
well,
tag team?
Because when
the other Wyatts?
Because when the two of them just came out by themselves on... the Raw before Money in the Bank, it was the weird accordion music. So that would lead one to think that, okay, they didn't really like that, so let's go with generic Southern rock song number 5.
That was number 3.
Excuse me. Excuse me of, you know, getting a couple of Jim Johnson's, you know, masterpieces mixed up.
I mean, I don't... Yeah, I don't know. It's not memorable. So
yeah, fair enough. You know, but the match itself was really good. Like these guys, really like these guys can put on a good match against each other in their sleep at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen it almost time and time again. It was a lot of fun. Usos ended up winning in the end.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing where I've seen it enough that I don't care to see it again, but I also don't dread seeing it again.
Right.
This is the perfect kind of match to kind of put. As your filler match in between two big matches now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will enjoy it.
Or a good thing to kind of get everyone up and going at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Which is like, usually we would expect at least one of the Money in the Bank ladder matches to start off the show.
To have that kickoff thing.
Right.
But no,
but this one worked as in that same capacity. Like, it got everyone kind of upbeat and going. And, yeah, it was a good match. It was fun.
Yeah.
Next. I'm looking back over the card now, and I was like, yeah, there was some... And I said earlier, it's like, yeah, there's something to enjoy about all of them. I just saw one. I'm just like, eh. But not this match. This match, you know...
This match is good.
This match is good because of Paige and Naomi.
Yeah, next up is Paige and Naomi.
They both have...
I'm like, that was a fantastic match.
It was, yeah.
Like, I will go happily out on limb. That was two talented people putting on a fantastic match.
Right. Like, take everything Cameron away from this equation, and it's almost perfect.
It was great. I would... have been thrilled for this to go on longer, mm-hmm. to go on later in the night, to be, like, this is how you...
Get a rematch at some point, yeah.
This is how you build a feud for the title.
Yeah.
I am very invested in these. Naomi has all out impressed me over this past 2-3 weeks. I am 100% in her corner now.
Absolutely. And I'm in as well.
Now it's gonna suck because her next feud is with Cameron.
Right. Like, and Naomi's gonna have to carry that, and I'm not gonna say it's gonna be impossible because Naomi has a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a lot of dead weight to carry.
But I am not looking forward to it.
No, because it means at least a few more weeks of Cameron getting mic time at some point.
Yeah.
In some form or what, one or another. And we heard from last week, I am not all about that crap.
Clearly.
And really, this is probably the only dark moment of this entire pay-per-view, Adam Rose versus Sandow. This is the one where I looked at and I'm like, oh god, there wasn't anything really redeemable about this, was there?
I like the elbows are coming.
Okay, fine. Sure. And Sandow did a springboard backflip at the end.
Yeah.
I've never seen him do that before.
Dressed as Paul Revere,
he did a springboard backflip. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I just, wish he wasn't doing it in, terrible gimmicks.
You know what? Here's the thing, and I thought about it. This jumps to Monday night. But he came out dressed as Vince McMahon.
Right.
On Monday night. Mm-hmm. Which means that Vince McMahon thinks this is funny.
Well, yeah, clearly. A, Vince McMahon thinks it's funny, and B, having him go out and impersonate a boss basically could lay the groundwork of them eventually firing him on screen. Be like, oh, you impersonate the boss, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. Although, he did kind of get what was coming to him
With Kali. But here's the thing, Sandow has job security right now.
I guess, sure.
They're never firing Santino. I mean, okay, that never, say never, obviously. But Santino is not a risk. When those, Red Wedding situations come across where we're reading about 11 firings in a day, mm-hmm. you're never like, Santino might be next, you guys.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people were thinking during that day, it was like, oh, Sandow has to be one of the guys coming up.
Yes, but now he's impersonated Vince. Which means this isn't a filler, I mean, it is a filler, but it's not like one writer trying to do his weird,
Right, trying to get his weird
project.
His weird segments into the show, yeah.
Because clearly somebody had to ask Vince before that happened.
Right.
So
how long, since this is something that clearly Vince would laugh at, mm-hmm. and we take a look at all the other stuff that Vince would find humorous, how long is it before there is crap falling on Santino or Sandow in the middle of the ring?
I mean,
actual crap.
Yeah, no, it's very possible. It depends on where they go. It's starting to be a thing where you can look at the little thing. This is where we are this week live, and you're like, all right, let me guess who it's gonna be.
And it made sense that they were in Hartford, Connecticut, and he impersonated Vince.
Yeah,
fair enough.
No, it got me because
Oh, it got me too.
I was like, it's the, get this out. Oh, Sandow, you got me.
Right.
So.
I'm trying to figure out. I don't think they announced. I'm pretty sure I could look up where they were going to be next
week. Yeah, where they are next week. No, it's not worth it to look up ahead of time so I can really dedicate some brain power to figuring out who Sandow's going to dress up as.
Yeah.
But it's a nice 30 second game to play when they announce it at the beginning of Raw.
True. Very true. And Adam Rose. I'm like, eh.
I am so close to being done with Adam Rose, and I don't want to
And be. It sounds like, the people who booked this are pretty much close to being done with him as well.
Yeah, I wasn't watching NXT on a weekly basis when Adam Rose was on there.
Well, I mean, the Adam Rose character, from what I understand, wasn't on NXT that long. They took his original character, and they repackaged him, and he debuted for a few weeks, and then next thing you know, that was around the time when the vignettes started.
Yeah. And so did this...
Like, it wasn't
Harvey
like
a gimmick really play well in NXT, and
It from what I know, I saw, seems like, kind of, yeah, but to be honest with you, it kind of looks like anything works in that arena.
Yeah.
The crowd there gets excited about a lot of things.
Yeah. I can see that.
that's the only thing to explain Emma.
Yeah.
Got over with them, and she goes to the main show, and it's bloody awful.
But Bo Dallas is coming out good.
Bo Dallas is getting better. I really, really like his stuff from his past few appearances on NXT.
Yeah.
I've been saying, you know, the past few weeks that if we saw more of that on the main shows, then I would be more into this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, he's, you know, he's not a dominant heel. Like, that's not really the character.
No.
They might say he's a talented heel. I can probably get behind that, but that's about as far as that goes. Throwing a little humor in there would help a lot.
Yeah.
You know, especially if we're not supposed to be taking him seriously.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Next up, the Money in the Bank for the contract.
Yep.
Stole the show, right? Like, beyond no question.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what you're umming about. This was like,
because the main event ladder match was really good too.
Yeah, but no.
No, okay, fair enough. I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, well, I don't know, maybe it was never going to be in my head.
Right.
One of them had Kofi and Seth and Dolph Ziggler and Rob Van Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one didn't.
The other one had Cesaro and,
well,
Bray.
Here's,
and Roman.
One of them had all the people that if they got hurt, WWE would be okay with it. Mm-hmm. The other one had all the people that if they got hurt, WWE would panic.
Right.
So,
like, it wouldn't be like a Bad News Bears situation who got hurt and they didn't even bother replacing him with anyone.
Yeah.
Now, on this one, on the main one, if someone got hurt, they would probably scramble to find someone to replace.
Yeah.
Or try to, at least.
But, I don't know, there were a couple of just really pretty spots.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kofi bouncing off.
Kofi and, bouncing was good.
Was
but
a really good one.
I think Seth falling on the ladder might have been the...
That one, just because that had kind of like a aftershock mm-hmm. bumps on that one. That superplex off the ladder from Dean to Seth,
mm-hmm.
really good spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those two are probably my two spots of the match.
Yeah. And just, I don't know, I love these matches.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard not to.
And I mean, there's nothing else, maybe the Royal Rumble, but there's nothing else in wrestling
right.
that is so much fun to watch live.
Yeah.
As one of these matches. Just because there's so many people in it,
mm-hmm.
and then when, you know, when they're out and then they can come back and it's, you know, I don't know, it does feel like anyone can win, especially when it feels like anyone can win, I guess.
Right.
That's one of the biggest problems with both this and Royal Rumble, when it's such a foregone conclusion, and so you're sitting there, mm-hmm. all right,
let's and, just... And, you know, to a lesser extent, Elimination Chambers, like, Elimination Chambers was always one of my favorite matches, as long mm-hmm. as it, you know, done right. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have Great Khali in one of the freaking pods.
Somebody's bitter.
I'm not bitter. I just hate Great Khali. Yeah, this match is incredibly enjoyable.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why I even just for a second wanted to argue with you about it, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, this is a match of the year contender for me.
Yeah.
Contender, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, contender. I'll put that up there. Yeah, it'll be difficult to beat. Jack Swagger's t-shirt.
Jack Swagger's t-shirt was amazing.
That almost got pop of the night from us.
Yes.
Just from our group. Just because I had seen it earlier on Twitter. And then seeing everyone's reaction to it, like, they saw it. And nobody reacted at all to it. Because they're just like, why is there the outline of someone's hand groping them.
Well, like, I knew it was a hand over your heart kind of thing.
Right, but then
it didn't occur to me that, like, it was perfectly positioned.
Right.
For him
once
to actually...
Once Zeb and Jack did that, everyone in the apartment popped.
Yes.
Like, absolutely everyone.
It was fantastic.
The only part that probably got the bigger pop is the cardboard cutout head creeping on Lana.
Yeah.
Go back, if you didn't, I don't see how you didn't notice it, but there was a fan who was holding like one of those giant head cardboard cutouts, and whenever the camera cut to a close-up of Lana, that head just popped into frame, and the eyes looked like it was just straight down at Lana's boobs.
It was funny.
Yeah. And they quickly cut away. Yes, so it was you there. If you blinked, you might have missed it.
Next up, Gold Star beats Ryback and Curtis Axel.
Yeah. Again, I love Stardust. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Put them up against someone other than Ryback and Kurt Axel.
Yeah.
Like, it's been like 4 straight matches in the very short time that we've seen Stardust.
Yeah.
Let's do something else. Like, you've proven that you can beat them. You beat them like 3-4 times in a row. Congratulations.
I don't understand why they don't have the titles again, honestly.
They're probably going to want them to beat a heel tag team
for yeah.
Which is kind of why I was thinking the Wyatts were going to win.
Yeah.
Earlier in the night, like, just so there would be they could set that up. The only other way to do it now is to kind of do a,
like
a fatal four-way tornado tag type situation.
Yeah.
Which would be great.
Which I would absolutely watch. I mean, you have 4 tag teams right now.
Right, or some sort of elimination type deal. Like, kind of like what they did at the beginning of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because that worked incredibly well.
Yeah.
You know, so. And you don't have, you know, real Americans anymore, so you can easily slide in the Rhodes Brothers.
Right. Next up, Rusev had the best match of his career.
Yeah. I realized in this match why I like Big E so much.
Okay.
Because he's willing to do things that normal big guys don't do. How many guys, like muscly big guys, do you see throwing a spear onto the floor like that?
Yeah.
Like, muscly big guy. Like, yeah, he can move around better than most big guys, but even if big guys can move around like that, they don't take risks like that. That being said, I would rather not see Big E do that again, because it was a little bit too close from spiking his own head.
Yeah.
Which would have sucked big time.
Yeah.
For Big E. Because that's the first time I've seen him do that on the open floor.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like, he'll run into, like, a barricade or something because it's on the side.
Yeah.
This was facing the ramp, or whatever, the area to the stage. There was no ramp, yeah. Whatever. But that area,
like, you know what we're talking about.
Right, flat onto the floor, so, yeah.
I don't know.
But other than that, like, that's why I like Big E so much, is because he's a big guy, but no one bothered to tell him.
Yeah.
He's got kind of that mindset.
Well, here's the thing. If this had been Rusev's first match,
mm-hmm.
or even like second match, or even like fourth match,
right?
You know, he still came out of the match looking so dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is the first time I felt like that looks like a monster heel.
Right.
Because he came out looking incredible out of this match.
Oh, he did, yeah.
He didn't look incredible beating Zack Ryder.
No, he didn't.
It was a short waste of time match. He didn't, you know. This is the first time where I was like, mm-hmm. this is like, you know, I want to see him, you know, slam up against another immovable object, unstoppable force, right. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that's, I don't know, I don't own a multi-million-dollar wrestling company, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But like, the 3 months of, you know, non-stop crush matches, slowly adding one accessory at a time to the victory dance. Like, it's done nothing for me. This is the first thing. I'm like, I will watch more Rusev now.
Mm.
And now I'm like a super 100% behind him. I'm excited to see Rusev on Raw next week.
I still don't like the accolade or whatever. The camel clutch.
Oh, I know you don't, but yeah. that's a personal problem.
I know, it's a personal problem. And to be honest with you, like, if you had any other finisher, I'd be much more on board with it.
Yeah.
I really, really hate that move.
I know you do. I don't know why, but I know you do.
So what do you think? What do you think it's going to be with, like, him and Jack Swagger?
Okay, yeah. So on Raw, I mean,
basically Zeb and Jack turned face.
Yeah.
If it's just for that, you know, brief moment, they turned face in that brief moment.
Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, you know, people have been enjoying the Zeb character, if nothing else.
They do the We the People thing.
And so it's such a, like, tailor-built, like, here is the feud on the silver platter for you to do kind of thing.
And they didn't trip over themselves.
So I think that, you know, I think the pop for the, you know, the Real American Music was more for, they're actually doing this feud than it was for, I'm excited for, you know, this feud. I was like, I'm excited they're doing the feud more than I think the feud will be good. But, I mean, the crowd was 100% behind it. It was fun to watch the crowd be 100% behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, and
if anyone could make good face promos, pro-American promos, it'll probably be Zeb.
Yeah. No, Zeb, you know, did a wonderful job there.
Yeah.
Swagger did a wonderful job. Yeah. I mean, he didn't do much, but he did great.
He did what he needed to do, yeah.
I mean, and with, you know, with the match at Money in the Bank and the segment on Raw, it's the first time I can see, you know, just this shades of, they could make the Iron Sheik again out of this character.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm sure, what they want to do and what they want me to see, you know? Like, that is their hope, is that I'm going to be, you know, is it Iron Sheik all over again? And Swagger's not Hogan.
Right.
But, like, I don't know.
But he is, like, the super-duper American
character. Yeah, he's the one to fight right now.
Right.
And I get that. But it's the first time where I can see that they're wanting to do that, and it's not a laughably bad imitation.
Right.
Like, there's not, I can see how these dots would be connected to actually, you know, make this Iron Sheik recreation, recreating that feeling, that instance. I wonder if the WWE wants us to keep being on bad terms with Russia for this.
It helps. It certainly does help. Yeah. If things improve with Russia,
maybe he'll go back to being the Bulgarian brute.
Right. Which technically he still is. He's
not billed as it anymore.
He's got a summer home in Russia, apparently. next up, we got Layla going up against Summer Rae.
The winner of this match was Fandango.
Fandango was the special guest referee, and I was more entertained by Fandango.
I miss this Fandango.
I miss Creepy Kurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want them to drop, like, you guys tried so hard with Fandango, like, just A+ for everybody who fully committed to this. A+ to WWE, A+ to Johnny Curtis, A+ to everybody who sang that stupid theme song, except for you, King.
Yeah.
A+ to Chris Jericho for being the one to lose to him at WrestleMania. Just everybody worked really hard. You guys tried super hard. Everybody committed.
Right.
Nobody should be ashamed. Just let him be Creepy Curtis again.
Yeah, be Dirty Curdy and we're good.
It was wonderful.
Like, even the promo before the match where, you know, the guy's interviewing, and the first thing out of his mouth is like, I like triangles. It's like, what?
So creepy. It's
my I want a picture of the I like turtles kid, but just put Fandango's face over him and just say, I like triangles. That's what I want.
It's also nice that this is leading to a feud with Dolph Ziggler, because I could totally believe Dolph Ziggler will win this time.
Yeah, it's a match that we think Dolph Ziggler could actually win.
So, yes. Finally.
Right. And those matches would be really good.
They would be really good. And the crowd was super hot for Ziggler, as always, on Raw. So, you know.
Right.
They enjoyed that, and of course they should.
As they should.
Highly enjoyable.
Yeah, clearly.
And then finally, John Cena wins the titles.
Yep, in the ladder match.
Yep.
For that. I mean, clearly, like, probably the high spot for this was probably Cesaro, like, hanging from the titles.
Yeah.
With one arm and beating the crap out of Sheamus, who's hanging on for dear life.
Mm-hmm.
With two arms.
Yeah.
And then he just proceeded to hang there for a while himself.
Yeah.
And that and the ladder's kind of getting tangled up in some weird IKEA furniture situation.
This was a much better, quote-unquote, all-star match.
Yeah.
Than the last time we had it.
Yeah. I'll agree.
So.
Although the last one, you know, had at least the CM Punk Heyman thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you also did get someone, you know, in a pool of blood from their own head again. Randy
is a trooper.
I just rewatched it before we recorded. And, yeah, that happened pretty early in the match.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he just bled all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, we knew Cena was going to win. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, I'm okay with it. Whatever. I feel like I got so much of what I wanted out of this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to tune in to wrestling again. And, like, so we have, you know, there's this thing where you have the big four pay-per-views, and you're always excited for, like, the Monday Night Raw after the big four. It's a big deal. You know, returns are made, titles are cashed in, you know, stuff happens on that one.
Right.
And we had that at WrestleMania. WrestleMania was amazing this year, and the night after WrestleMania was tons of fun.
Yeah.
We totally did not have that for Royal Rumble this year.
No.
Because everybody was mad at Royal Rumble. Mm. Everybody was mad and just, like, sad, defeated on the product.
Yeah, and if they weren't mad then,
Brian had just lost, Punk had just quit. Like, it was a dark time, just, you know, six months ago.
Well, yeah, like, they were, like, at the end of Royal Rumble, they were mad. During Raw the next night, they were pissed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad, bad situation.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, this WrestleMania was a little bit more enjoyable, clearly because it was one of the best.
WrestleMania was a bit more enjoyable.
Right. Fair enough. And then, so the night after kind of reflected that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I mean, but this had that same feel to me. Like, Money in the Bank is fast becoming a big four event for me.
Yeah. You know, I mean, since.
I don't know if you want to call it big five or you got to kick out one of the other four now. Like,
I mean, if anything, Survivor Series has easily been the least entertaining out of the four.
Yeah.
Lately.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't do the Survivor Series matches that we won.
Exactly.
Like last year, there was one that we wanted.
Here it is. Line it up. It's very easy to do, and they don't do it.
And they teased it, like, a couple weeks before it.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, that's not the one you're going to get.
So, but it was, I don't know, it was a good 1-2 package, Sunday night, Monday night kind of thing.
Right.
All in all. And Punk is gone, and Bryan is out indefinitely, and, you know, Wade Barrett's gone, you know, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And all of that sucks, and they're honestly, even with, you know, you can point to Cena winning, and being, nope, they're just countering back to their old ways kind of thing.
Right.
But it does feel like they're very much rolling with the punches, like, you know.
Yeah.
The Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose feud, you know, takes up a sizable chunk of it.
Yeah.
It's something I'm very interested in. Rusev is making nice progress, finally.
Yeah.
Fandango's entertaining, like
Stardust.
He's a stupid love triangle feud. Like, those are the worst.
Yeah.
And it's entertaining. And so, no, I'm quite pleased with all of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we also need to move into Raw as we plenty of returns happen.
Three, actually.
That's plenty for one night.
And, like, all in the same hour.
Yeah.
That, like, third hour was loaded.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, just in order, Miz came back first.
Right. And, like, they really, like, hyped it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, every time they explained it, it sounded like Jericho. And they pulled a fast one on us because we were only thinking about Jericho.
I mean, I was thinking maybe Batista.
No, I felt like they were going to wait a little bit longer on Batista.
Yeah. I mean, Batista filled all the blocks that they were, you know, in movies and former WWE champion, and like,
right,
he was all the things. And so I like that Miz had to remind us that he was once WWE champion.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I could get behind this, you know, showbiz Hollywood style Miz kind of thing,
right?
I don't know. I feel like somebody in the back has a super ton of faith in Miz. And that person might be Miz.
Right.
Like, but he's somebody who, like, he just, one, just because he's such a company man.
Right. I mean, to an extent, as how he works very hard with promoting WWE.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that needs to be rewarded. So, you know, he'll keep doing that.
Yeah.
I get that. Fine. So I would be, yeah, I'm fine with that, this kind of character.
But, like, you can see, you can look over his career and you can see spurts of just, like, absolute brilliance and, yeah, like, character building and, like, ring work and, like, just intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always okay with Miz getting another shot at the main event scene.
Right.
Even though it feels like he gets a lot. And mm-hmm. fumbles a lot. And just never, and you know, has never quite reascended after WrestleMania 27.
Right.
And
the reason he got to that point is because he won Money in the Bank, and that kind of inserted him in that main event.
Yeah.
And once he left that, he never really got back.
Yeah. So I would be quite happy to see Miz higher up, moving on up.
And not fumble it.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's the catch of it, you know. The opportunities that he's had since WrestleMania 27, something seems to go wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, and it hasn't been a whole lot of his fault, you know?
Right.
I mean, there might have been some, I don't know. But, like,
him struggling to get the concept of the figure four didn't help.
Yeah, that his whole Ric Flair thing wasn't great. But, like, it's Evan Bourne's fault.
Evan Bourne?
Like, Evan Bourne never could make it after he fell. And I'm like, I really love Evan Bourne.
Right.
But
he did kind of screw himself twice in a row.
Yeah.
And then got hurt. Which wasn't his fault, but he was already in the doghouse to begin with.
Yeah. So, but then Jericho came back.
Yep.
To, you know, thunderous applause. I really don't want Jericho to come back just to job to an up-and-comer again.
Yeah, just to job to seemingly Bray Wyatt.
And, like, I totally get that he will, because he's Jericho.
Right, and, you know, Jericho really digs that character. You said that plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
So, he'll probably put a little bit more enthusiasm in this than he did with Fandango.
Yeah.
Because he just kind of got stuck with Fandango last time. So, I don't know, maybe this will, you'll put a little bit more emphasis into this. But yeah, like, I want them to actually have a plan for Jericho and not just have him, okay, well, he's going to lose this new guy this time.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lose this new guy and just kind of follow down the path with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed indeed. I want a good couple of wins for him. I want to, you know, right. Good. I also wonder with, you know, like, Punk gone and Daniel Bryan gone and, you know, that whole main event field being
right.
A lot more just John Cena. Like,
right.
I wonder how blank that check was that somebody wrote to Jericho.
I mean, I'm pretty sure
we
that...
We need somebody back here right now.
Yeah. Because I don't know exactly how far back this was planned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it was within the last month, yeah, we know exactly what, you know, motivated that because, you know, your main event picture is pretty thin right now.
Yeah.
And B, you know, their financial, I don't want to call them woes because they're still millionaires.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, their dip in financial.
The financial hiccup.
Hiccup, yeah. Yeah, so really they're just looking for ways to kind of just build everything up.
And I get that. Oh man, Chris Jericho's back. I'm going to start watching again. I loved him as a kid. Yeah, I get that.
Right. It worked with The Rock.
Yep, it did. I can't say anything.
Sorry.
also to mention, I mean, we mentioned it, but yeah, just touch on Bad News Barrett did get stripped of the title. So, Vacant lost a championship and regained a championship.
Yep, he's now the Intercontinental Champion.
Cannot keep him down. Vacant is the ultimate underdog.
No kidding. But they announced a Battle Royal for Battleground.
Yeah.
For the Intercontinental Championship. Which, Cesaro has to be the favorite, even though he got hurt and now he's rocking an eye patch.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
I assume Cesaro is the favorite. Yeah. So... yeah, maybe Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
I would rather him have a singles match with Fandango, probably, though.
Well, what can come of that is they can continue their story, but just have the belt now.
Yeah.
To add to it, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to stick 30 guys into one match, and four of your main eventers, so all of your main eventers
I don't think it's going to be 30 guys, though.
Was it not a 30-man battle royal?
I have no idea.
I assumed it was going to be a 30-man battle royal.
Oh.
For the sake of my argument, because I don't know, but I assume, 30 guys in that one match, and you're doing the Fatal 4-Way for the title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's two matches, and, like, maybe half your roster.
Right.
So, Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt will have a match, and there will be a Divas match.
Somewhere, yeah. At least one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Probably two.
Probably two. No, probably Funkadactyl's in the title.
Maybe even three.
I don't know about that.
You never know.
I don't. You're right, I don't know. We also need to mention that AJ returned.
Yeah. That was a surprise.
That was a surprise.
Big time surprise, because Jericho, you know, everyone online was kind of talking about it like an hour or so before the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there was that. AJ returning was not talked about that much. I think I saw one person say something beforehand, but I kind of shoved it off because, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, this would be a perfect time for CM Punk to come back. Like, that kind of sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, AJ came back and regained her Divas Championship. Basically worked as a face. Paige showed signs of heeldom, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, you can call her a heel just yet. I guess we'll wait to see where this goes.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that's going to be an AJ Page feud, at least for the next month.
Yeah. Which I'm fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I wanted AJ and Caitlyn to trade the belts forever, and so I can live with it being AJ and Page trading the belt back and forth forever.
Right, yeah.
Like, no, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I don't know if we ever mentioned it on the podcast. There were rumors that AJ was pregnant, which I think have been delightfully squashed
at this point. Yeah. And the person who came out with those rumors said that, okay, I was obviously wrong. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine, you know, but maybe next time just be a little bit more sure before you say stuff.
I mean, it's, you know, there are few and far between, like, sources where I will give more than a lol dirt sheet thing to.
Right.
And this was a source where I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, the next time any sort of scoop comes out of this, I will probably believe it until proven otherwise. I mean, I have to ask, just because you have to ask, do you have any sort of, like, thoughts as to how this could affect Punk? If AJ, his wife, is on the weekly show traveling?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how burned out CM Punk is.
Yeah.
Well,
here's what it does mean. It does mean that they did not leave the company to ride off into the sunset into wedding marital.
No, not at all. You know?
Which was what it was looking like for a while.
Right. Because everyone's like, oh, she'll be back by Payback. And then Payback kind of came and went, and we're like, okay, well, now what?
Yeah.
You know? It's an encouraging sign that they didn't just run off in the sunset, and maybe CM Punk will come back one day, we just don't know when.
I mean, I am in full belief that CM Punk will come back one day.
Right.
I mean, Stone Cold came, I mean, even if CM Punk, and I don't want to say it, even if CM Punk never comes back in full in-ring action, ready to go kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't believe we will never see one.
But, you know, if there's one thing that's been established over the years, is that CM Punk is passionate about pro wrestling. he always has been.
Mm-hmm.
So we just gotta wait for that to kind of resurface.
Yeah.
Maybe that happens while he, you know, he's watching his wife go out and wrestle, and then that, you know, kind of gets him motivated and back into it, you know, or just, you know, her being on the road and him being at home all the time, like.
Mm-hmm. Theoretically, he wants to spend time with her.
Theoretically, yes. He would like to spend the rest of his life with her. Theoretically. We know the chances are 50-50 on that. I get the statistics.
I mean, but, you know, newlyweds.
Right.
Like, so,
But then again, CM Punk is also the kind of person that, like, yeah, he could probably, like, spend a good long time by himself and that really wouldn't affect him much.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like, CM Punk is probably totally fine with spending a lot of time in his apartment.
Right.
Brooding. I feel like CM Punk broods a lot.
I'm pretty sure he just reads comics.
But I think he does it with, like, a hood up and, like, well, in a corner.
Clearly. He likes his hoodies. So, yeah, I'm not sure if this is going to have any sway over whether Punk comes back or not. You know? It's really, like, as we've seen, the only person that affects CM Punk is CM Punk.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
And so, and it's just a little like, I'm trying really hard not to mention CM Punk every week on this podcast. I'm doing such a bad job of it. I know.
You really are, yeah.
I'm doing an awful job of it that I can't, I'm sorry, you guys. I want CM Punk back.
I know, and I do too. It's been, I'm at this point, I'm just trying to, all the optimism is gone for me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be like, I don't want to be, you know, oh, we'll see a book come back at any minute, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing is, and I feel like we've reiterated it a lot, but like, almost everything, it's the perfect time for CM Punk to come back, it's the perfect time for Cena to turn heel, there's a lot of perfect times. It will happen when it happens.
Yeah.
And it's just the kind of thing where, it will happen, and there are, like, things that we can point to, AJ coming back, like, you know, maybe CM Punk shows up at, like, a house show, because they're in Chicago anyway,
right.
And he's spotted backstage, like, there will be things, and so, because I want it to happen, I'll go, oh, look at that, you know,
yeah.
When Sting's contract with whatever expires, you know, we go, ooh, look at that, even though that doesn't mean Sting's coming back for, like, you know, a year, probably.
Right, yeah.
So.
Even though we pretty much everyone's like, oh, Sting could come back any week now, and now we're just like, oh, we don't even know if he's signed.
Yeah. Haven't heard much about Sting.
Although I think Jim Ross, like, confirmed that he would be in the video game.
Yeah. Oh, is it gonna be? Is it gonna be in 15?
That's according to Jim Ross, who also does not work for WWE anymore.
Yeah. Okay, that would be interesting, though.
I'm pretty sure he's probably doing some work for the video game.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Well, do you think, like, I mean, they've done an Attitude Era, like, you know, storyline, but they've never really done, like, a Monday Night Wars storyline.
Well, that was, like, kind of embedded in the Attitude
Era. Like, I don't know if they could, like,
it was very one-sided.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if that would be too much of, like, oh, here's the exact same thing.
Right.
You know? I don't know, WWE is very, history is written by the winners.
Yeah.
To that time period.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that would bring in a new opportunity for the.
So here, play Monday Night Wars from the WCW side of things. Play this match that totally sucked out loud and completely led to the downfall of WCW.
Pretty much.
Get pinned in less than 30 seconds. Get pinned by Hulk Hogan's magic finger.
Like, they would make you do the finger poke of doom.
Yep.
You didn't poke hard enough. Play this level again.
Failed. Yep.
So, oh, by the way, John Cena is going to be on the cover. Okay.
Yeah, what do you freaking do?
That was like, I don't know, that's always been.
And even John Cena was kind of mad about it.
I don't know, that's always been such a huge yeah for me. Like, they always make a big deal out of it every year. Like, here's the cover. And
I was like, yeah, don't expect me to get excited until you send me, until you, you know, show me the trailer.
Yeah. And so, there was, you know, and then for, like, you know, there was a little bit of excitement for 14, because there was the, like, here's the, you know, the alternative cover kind of thing.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. But, you know, even since, like, 12. 12 was the first one where it was a single wrestler. It was Randy Orton on 12.
Right.
And so every single time they'd be like, this is the wrestler who'll be on the cover. And even when it was Punk, like, I love Punk. And, like, I was like, all right, yeah, that's what the cover looks like. Okay. Whatever. And so, yeah, that's never been a big deal to me.
No.
And so, but it's always been a big deal to them, so it's kind of surprising that they, you know, just kind of dropped the banner.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know.
I wonder who's going to screw up the costume stuff, like, the night after it comes out.
Who will be the first person to change costumes like they aren't supposed to?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I mean, last year was Kane.
Yeah. It's Kane, and then, it was Mark Henry the year before that.
Oh,
who went from red to black.
Red to black, yeah.
Real quick, yeah. So
then CM Punk shaved his head, and he was on the cover.
Mm-hmm. But he was like in shadows, like.
Well, no, but his character had the slick back hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he wasn't even wearing the white shirt anymore.
No. Nope.
He was on like the third or fourth shirt after that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You got to keep that DLC fresh.
Sure.
New shave head, Punk.
Ooh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot else for me. But I just want to say this is, it's, I don't know, I'm excited about wrestling again. I feel out of the pocket of suck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel I'm looking forward to next week. I'm looking forward to several people, and you know, there's not a whole lot of like, there's no storyline right now that for me is like, ugh, this storyline again. Like maybe Adam Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't care.
Right.
And, you know, and it takes a lot of time for him to come out and everybody to sing.
Yeah.
Like, that's half the problem there is it takes so long
for an Adam Rose segment to happen. Setup, yeah.
So, but, like, there's so much of the product that I'm somewhere between, you know, excited to at least interested in, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good, and that's what I want. Good job. Right. Thumbs up to them for me. That is my review of the past week of wrestling. Thumbs up to them from me.
I'm sure that they're very, very pleased to get that from you.
Good.
I'm okay with what they're doing, yeah. And the past couple shows have been really good.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, yeah.
So.
I haven't checked out Vicky Guerrero week, so I don't know.
I haven't checked out Vicky Guerrero week yet, so either.
So, I don't know if I want to praise everything they've done this week.
So, I don't know.
We'll see.
We will see. I don't know, like, I missed so much of Vicky Guerrero was in the time that I was not watching on a weekly basis. So, like, Vicky and Edge, that whole thing, I just missed.
Yeah. It was fun, I guess. They were very good heels in the sense that everyone hated them.
Yeah.
And it's hard to hate Edge. It really is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they did a good job of making everyone hate them.
Well, good for them, I guess.
Sure. So, should we do what's making you happy this week?
What's making me happy? Yeah, you go first, though.
Well, I mean, first off, Money in the Bank, obviously. Like, that was wrestling-related. Like, it was incredibly good pay-per-view, mm-hmm. start to finish. Save for, like, one filler match or whatever. Yeah. Non-wrestling-related? I'm going home next week.
Mm-hmm.
Visiting, it's my dad's birthday, I'm going to spend the week with them, so I guess she can go ahead and announce that I won't be on the podcast next week.
Yeah.
We do have something in place for that,
mm-hmm.
And you will see what that is.
Yes. That is the wrestling-related thing that's making me happy. I'm looking forward to next week's Class Arena Tour. It's going to be very interesting.
Things that are making Joel happy, Chris won't be here. Thanks, buddy.
Mysterious circumstances.
Chris is quote-unquote magically getting replaced.
Only for 1 week, right? You'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, unless there's some devious plan that you've got.
I never have devious plans. Non-wrestling related, Community got renewed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What did that happen?
Like, the last minute, because me and you were talking about it the night before, because it was Sunday.
Yeah. Now, it was June 30th was the last day.
Oh, right.
And I don't know if that was because contracts expired June 30th or if contracts expired July 1st.
Right.
Like, I don't remember exactly.
But it was the contracts they had with all the actors?
The actors, yeah. Okay. And so, like, within hours, of the contracts expiring.
Because I'm assuming that's when they would have to announce that, because that's when their contracts are expiring with Sony.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they could sign new contracts with anyone else until those contracts run out.
Right.
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 So it makes sense, but yeah, it's just the moment that happened, and this was like right on the heels of Hulu announcing that they weren't going to pursue it.
Yeah. So it's being picked up by Yahoo Screen.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was Google, what is Yahoo Screen?
Is that like a their like a video on demand?
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing that I don't know if they have any original content right now. But they they have actual clips from things that they've paid for the rights to show these clips, like Saturday Night Live and other actual TV shows and stuff.
Right.
This might be their first foray into original content.
And that'll be a good way to kind of get going, because, you know, Community has a very dedicated fan base.
They have a very dedicated fan base and a very loud fan base.
Incredibly. Like, they might not be huge, but they are loud.
I mean, and this is, I don't know, it feels very much like tweeting Save the Show, you know, that kind of thing. Which,
but they kind of legitimately did save the show.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of took to social media and just
That's the thing. Is like, I don't think Yahoo would have been interested in this show had they not viewed it as, look at all these people who will give us free advertising for this Yahoo service. Right.
Now, quick question. Like,
which I'm doing right now. Like, Yahoo Screen's a thing.
Yeah, now, is Yahoo Screens, is that like a paid service? Or
it is not at this time. I don't know if they will
change that before.
Have any sort of, like, you know, Yahoo Screen.
If Yahoo Screens is putting it online for free, then they got it made.
I mean, I will. I
their ad revenues will
I feel
be amazing.
Very comfortable saying, like, I will pay for, you know,
yeah, sure.
Some sort of Yahoo Netflix equivalent kind of thing. I mean, don't go crazy. There is only so much I will pay for this, but
it's bad enough I'm paying.
It will be real money.
It's bad enough I'm paying for Netflix and the network. So
yeah, so but it's you know I will pay you actual money,
right? But well, see, that's the problem with like video on demand services. Like as WWE's finding out, it's like yeah, all these people like your product doesn't mean that they're gonna you know pay monthly for it.
That's the thing is like I am paying for, you know, I'm not paying for Hulu and I'm not gonna get Hulu Plus.
No,
it. Because it feels very much like a Hulu Plus or Netflix kind of thing.
Right.
And Netflix is a better deal for me for what it has to offer.
Right.
And
me, it's just I had Netflix first, and I don't feel like... I feel like getting Hulu Plus, it's like, okay, why am I paying both of these things?
Yeah.
I can just pay for one.
I mean, I also have the Amazon one, so I do have two.
Oh, right. Okay.
About, you know, but getting an additional one... Like, and when you introduce a new one, be it Yahoo Screen or the WWE Network, because, oh, it's a wrestling podcast, or the WWE Network, it does add on, you know? And as much as I love wrestling, and as much as I do want the network, it's not going to replace Netflix.
No.
It's
a supplement.
Yes.
Almost. Yeah.
And so...
These are shows that aren't on Netflix, but they're on somewhere else. Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, there is that, like, how much will that be? And when MLB or NHL or...
Yeah.
Any of these people bring out their network equivalent...
Yeah.
How many people will go, not buying both of these,
right?
And baseball beats wrestling for me, or, you know, or football beats wrestling.
Right. Because it's one thing when all those channels come, like, within, like, your cable package. But then when they all have their own separate video on demand services that's, like, $10 for each, you're going to start racking up a bill.
Yeah. And, I mean...
It's going to add up.
I mean, you pay very, you know, very rounded math. You pay $50 for cable. So you can get 5 services.
Oh, the things that you really want to see.
I mean, that's theoretically what it is.
Yeah.
But this also now offers the option of, you know, you paid $50 for cable because you had to pay $50 for cable.
Right.
You could pay $30.
Right.
Like, it's not that you just have to be in somebody's top 5.
Yeah.
Like... There is more to it than that.
Right.
And so, yeah, obviously, you know, WWE seems to have struggled suggesting that this, you know, to pointing out that this network is worth $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as much as I'm rooting for them, because I adore the network has fulfilled every requirement of mine.
Yeah, same here.
As much as I love it and would like it to succeed, I feel like the pay-per-views included were their biggest card. I feel like they played their biggest card, and if they're still struggling, I don't know
what else will get them through.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the whole thing, like, you know, first one through the wall is the one that's always the bloodiest,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're not the first one through the wall, but, you know, they're the, I don't know, it seems like they're the first one to, like, really take a risk. Like, Netflix, it was kind of like, this was part of their whole entire business model to start with, you know.
Yeah.
WWE's trying to transition from what they had, what they've been doing this entire time, to mm-hmm. doing something completely different and relying on that, you know.
And how many people are going to discover wrestling with the network?
Right, yeah.
You know?
Because, yeah, with Cause on Raw, you're flipping through the channel, you might stop on and you'll watch, and mm-hmm. you know, then that might be, make you a fan, but yeah, with the network, you're very, it's very specific, like, you're looking for this.
And even something like, you know, most of us were fans because there was a kid at school who was a fan.
Right.
Or your brother was a fan, and then you were the kid at school that made other people fans.
Right.
But, like, yeah, so, you know, somebody comes up and is like, this is awesome because Goldberg is awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could go home and be like, he said the words Goldberg and WCW, and I can puzzle through this page in the newspaper where everything's listed and find where it says, you know, WCW and mm-hmm. go to that. You know, I can't go to, you know, and if I ask mom, because I have to still ask for permission to watch TV, there's a big difference. Can I turn the TV to this channel, and can you give me $10?
Right. A month.
A month to watch this. So that's, it's a big thing for WWE. You know, their fan base is very in and out and back and forth and taking breaks and coming back and stuff.
Right.
And the network is not super, you know, into that.
Right. No. It's, the network is definitely for the fan who's been a fan for a while and will stay a fan for a while. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as much as I don't know where WWE's goal is on getting Raw onto the network and
yeah.
off of
that. The more I think about it, the more I feel like they're probably going to keep Raw on cable television for a while.
I think they need to.
Yeah, it might be a wise investment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's,
because really that would be, you know, you know, a free advertising for this network.
It's what it is. It's what they use it for.
Well, yeah, right.
Michael Cole.
Clearly, yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. It's go watch the network and go play on the app. Because we get money that we don't have to split with Universal from those things.
Right.
So, I mean, but again, it's a transition period. None of this stuff is going to happen overnight. Everybody's still a billionaire. Or a millionaire.
100 millionaires, so they're okay.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. As always, you can follow us at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. It's a good times had by all.
Yep.
Just enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. Fill out the mail sack so you can, you know, maybe have your questions answered by Joel and the surprise guest that we're going to have next week, because I won't be here.
Also, we are on iTunes, so definitely look us up on iTunes. You can subscribe. We'll get instant downloads. You write a review. That would really help us out. You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
That would be awesome as well.
It would be. And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.